This message, entitled Love Does Not Boast, from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, was preached at Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas. For more information, visit us at winchesterrp.com. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. Continuing this evening, we've had a couple of weeks off, but we are going to continue with our study through the qualities and characteristics of Christian love. The Apostle Paul, you'll remember in the first few verses of this chapter, reminds us of the necessity of love, that without the love that he's speaking of here, whatever else we might be and whatever else we might do, we are nothing. And in verses 4 through 7, he gives us the qualities and the characteristics of Christian love. So we've been looking at that for a number of weeks, and we'll continue to do so if the Lord is willing. So please follow along as I again this evening read all 13 verses of 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word tonight. I direct your attention very specifically to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love does not envy or boast. Well, perhaps this evening you've heard the story of the great conductor by the name of Arturo Toscanini. And if you know anything about this very famous conductor, you might know that he was a very fickle conductor, that he was very sparing with his praise and his adulation, even of his own musicians. And there's an old story, and to be honest, I don't know if it's simply an old fable or if it truly happened, but it serves our point this evening. And the story relates in several publications of how one evening Arturo Toscanini was leading the Philadelphia Philharmonic. And they happened to have a performance of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony that, for the most part, not even for the most part, went quite flawless and perfect in every way. And the crowd, of course, as they came to hear this famed conductor and this famed orchestra, stood and applauded and gave them a standing ovation. And Toscanini, who was known to be very sparing in his praise, as I've said, turned to his orchestra as the whole auditorium was on their feet, and he looked at them and he said, "You are nothing." And that didn't surprise many of the people in his orchestra, because that was the way in which he usually interacted. But then Toscanini did something that was quite unexpected. He turned around to face the audience before them, and he said to them, "This orchestra is nothing." And then he added, "I am nothing, but Beethoven. Beethoven is everything." And I use that illustration this evening because it really illustrates so well what we mean when we say soli Deo gloria, when we say for the glory of God alone. To say the glory of God alone is to say you are nothing and I am nothing, but God is everything. And isn't that really the highest pitch of the Christian life? The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us that we are to glorify God right down to the details of our lives. Whether you eat, whether you drink, do it all for the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 43, verses 6 and 7. The Lord speaking through the prophet reminds the prophet and reminds us we have been created for a single purpose. We have been created for the glory of God. And the psalmist in Psalm 96 verses 1 through 3 tells us that it is our high calling to declare the glory of God among the nations. The glory of God is to be central not only to our identity, but to all we do. You might be wondering this evening, well, what on earth does that have to do with what the Apostle Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 13? Well, I open that way this evening because we come to a quality of love that we might say tonight illustrates this principle of soli Deo gloria, to God alone be the glory. And it illustrates that point in what we might call by way of negation. Remember, as the Apostle Paul here in verse 4 begins to tell us about the characteristics and the qualities of love, the first two qualities are positive. Love is patient. Love is kind. But it can't escape your attention that for the next eight, I think, characteristics and qualities, the Apostle Paul doesn't describe love positively. He describes it negatively by telling us what love is not. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. It is not arrogant. It is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It is not resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. The first two characteristics are positive, but the next eight are defined negatively, to remind us that as we come to this pure and wonderful thing called love, it's not merely enough to describe what it is. We must also be very clear about what it is not. Tonight we come to this fourth quality there in verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love does not boast. And if the Spirit is willing this evening, I hope with his help to impress this upon all of our hearts. Well, let me begin tonight simply by giving a definition. The Apostle Paul says, love does not boast, And if we're going to understand what he means in those words, then we need to define our terms. What does it mean to boast? What does Paul mean by that? And it's necessary that we ask that question because, as I'm sure some of you are immediately thinking about this evening, there are other places in Scripture, in the New Testament, where we read about what we might call a godly boasting. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30, the Apostle Paul says, "If I must boast, then let me boast in my weaknesses." In Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, doesn't he, and many of us know this, "Far be it from me to boast in anything save the cross of Jesus Christ." So how can Paul in one sense say, hey, I can boast about my weaknesses and I should boast about the cross of Christ, and in the next breath tell us in 1 Corinthians 13, here's one of the shining qualities of love, love doesn't boast. Is Paul being contradictory there? Well, we shouldn't think in those terms. And in fact, just by way of instruction tonight, I want you to know that the word that Paul uses here in verse 4 for boast is not the same word that he uses elsewhere. When he says, "Far be it from me to boast in anything but the cross of Christ," he's not using the same word that he uses in 1 Corinthians 13. The word he uses in those instances is really a word that means glory. I will glory in nothing save the cross of Jesus Christ. And that word elsewhere used in the New Testament can be used positively and negatively. There are other places where he says we should not glory. And there are places, as we've said, where he says, I glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the word that Paul uses here in verse 4 is an altogether different word. And it is a word that can in no way be understood positively. There's no positive way to understand the word Paul uses here. It is only a negative word. And if we were to think or translate it differently this evening, the older translations read, "Love does not vaunteth itself," which probably isn't overly helpful to our modern context, what on earth that means. You could translate that word, "Love does not brag," or "Love is not arrogant," or you could paraphrase it, "Love does not sing its own praises. Love does not point to oneself. Love does not promote oneself." Or to use an expression parents are often used to telling their children, "Love doesn't toot its own horn." That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. There's no way to speak of that positively. Love does not brag. Nature itself gives us a wonderful picture of what Paul means here. And it's in that little creature that most of us are familiar with, the peacock. Many of you know that male peacocks love to strut their stuff. And when they're trying to attract their female peacocks, one of the things that they do is they spread their feathers, don't they? They have an immense back feathers and they spread those out and they begin to strut their stuff. And so we've come up with that idiomatic expression, well, you're vain as a peacock, which means you love to show off. You have an excessive self-esteem. You love to be showy and to draw all kinds of attention to yourself. And Paul is saying that's what love does not do. And you can see, can't you, this evening, the relationship that that bears to the previous quality. Love does not envy. And what Paul meant by that is when you are envious of the prosperity of others. Remember, we talked about that three Lord's days ago. That's what envy is, when you desire the prosperity that someone else has. And boasting, kind of on the other side of the coin, is when you show off the prosperity you have. When you draw attention to yourself, when you promote yourself, when you feel that you need to put yourself above other people. And Paul is saying, no, no, no. Get your feathers down, because love does not boast. Love, brothers and sisters, is absolutely contradictory to boasting. And it must be, because love, as we know from the scriptures, love is something that doesn't center on me, myself, and I, but love is something that centers on other people. It is something that centers on their good and makes much of them and very little of ourselves, but boasting begins and ends with me, myself, and I. And Paul is saying, here is something that love absolutely is not. Love and boasting cannot coexist. It is absolutely impossible. Love does not boast. It does not center on self. And children and young people, you need to be reminded of this. Because if there are any sins that beset our young people, it is the natural bent of the heart to boast about many things. Love does not promote itself. That's a definition of what Paul means here when he says love does not boast. But as with our usual course, I don't want to stop this evening simply by giving you a definition. I want to display for you, so secondly, display for you what boasting is. Remember, we said 3 weeks ago that Paul, in a very rhetorical way, in a way that I think the Corinthians, as they read this letter, began to realize as they read 1 Corinthians 13, Paul is actually reaching back into the Corinthian file, and after all that he said throughout this letter, and now he comes to this chapter on love, what Paul is saying very plainly and simply to these Corinthians is, love is not you. We saw last time how envy was a problem in the church at Corinth. Boasting was also a very big and a very real problem in this church. And so when Paul says love does not boast, he's being very personal. And he's saying, Corinthians, love does not embody the boasting that is present in this church. And we see that if we were to read the letter from beginning to end in multiple places. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 29 through 31, for instance, the Apostle Paul reminds the Corinthians that when God called you, not many of you were strong, not many of you were wise, not many of you, he's saying, had a whole lot going for you. And he says, actually, in 1 Corinthians 1:31, that God did this so that nobody could boast in his presence. God chooses the foolish things of the world. He chooses the weak of the world. He chooses the despised of this world. And he shows grace to such as those so that no one can boast. And I think in saying that, Paul is highlighting a problem that the Corinthians had forgotten this truth. That they acted like those who, well, God's pretty fortunate to have me on his side. I'm a pretty good specimen. And Paul is saying, no, God has called you. And if he has called you, he has done so in such a way that you have no room to boast. But that's not the only place where we see this problem. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we see this argument that exists in this church. It's a divided congregation. Half the congregation is saying, well, I follow Apollos. Another half of the congregation says, I follow Paul. And then you've got some who say, well, I follow Peter. And the Apostle Paul, if you remember that passage, writes with this stinging rebuke. Christ is not divided. How can your allegiances be with this one servant of the Lord while turning your back on this servant of the Lord? And the Apostle Paul, in writing this, says, no, we do not make our boast in men. We do not glory in men. We glory only in the Lord. And he's pinpointing that problem because boasting is a true issue in the church at Corinth. Well, elsewhere in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 and 6. The Apostle Paul talks about how you shouldn't boast about what you have, because what you have is given you by God. He says, what do you have that you have not received from the Lord? Because the Corinthians were those who boasted about the things that they had. There is this display throughout this letter of the reality that the Corinthians were a boastful people. And Paul is saying, Love is not you. It would be very easy to point our fingers this evening, but we can't simply stop with the Corinthians. We must ask ourselves, is this boasting evident in our own lives? Do we spread, so to speak, our peacock feathers for all to see? Search your own hearts. And I think it becomes very evident very quickly that we are not immune to the boasting that Paul rebukes. What do we boast about? We boast about the things that we have. We want everybody to know exactly what I've gotten, exactly what I possess. We boast about things that we do. I do this and I do that. We boast about who we are, applauding ourselves and drawing attention and saying, hey, spotlight, focus on me for a minute. Let the whole world see what a great person I am. We boast about our abilities. We boast about our talents. We boast. We are so prone to boast about our spiritual gifts, the things that we cannot earn, the things that the Spirit gives to us freely. We boast about our children, and we pride ourselves in their accomplishments. We boast of our family line and our family heritage and who we are and who our ancestors were. We boast of our education. We boast of our schooling. We boast of our jobs. We boast of our church membership and our church affiliation. What I want you to see tonight is that everything in our lives really, quite actually, gives us the opportunity to boast. And all too often, we are too ready to make good on those opportunities. But the worst part, and I want to go a little deeper in this evening. Again, search your own hearts. The worst part is when, as Christians, we begin to hide our boasting behind a thin veil of piety. When even if subconsciously we pretend to give the glory to God, but we are actually concerned more about drawing attention to ourselves. Sure, we'll say, oh, it's for the glory of God. Look how God has blessed me. But at the end of the day, in our heart of hearts, we are more interested not in claiming the glory of God, but in showing everybody what we have and what we do and what our talents are. And brothers and sisters, that is the worst kind of boasting. Because it is a boasting that makes God simply become a means to an end and not the end itself. And Paul is saying, love, the love of 1 Corinthians 13, is the mortal enemy of all boasting. Boasting puts out love. They cannot coexist side by side. They are not friends. They don't have a peace treaty. They're not content to walk hand in hand, side by side. You either have a boasting spirit or you have a spirit of love. This is mutually exclusive. Boasting puts out love, but love puts out boasting. Because love seeks to shine the spotlight not on ourselves, but on others. First to God, and then to our neighbor, there is a display of boasting. Well, finally this evening, let me do a little bit, if I can, to preach on a deterrence to boasting. To preach on a deterrence to boasting. How can I put boasting out? How can I begin as a Christian to display the love, the kind of love that Paul commends here? How can I begin as a Christian to display a love that does not boast? How can I train my mind? How can I train my heart towards the humility that is characteristic and defining of love? I want to just give you two points of a deterrence towards boasting. And the first point is this, that it begins with an awareness of who you truly are. If you want to imbibe the kind of love that Paul speaks of here, then it is necessary that you be aware of who you really are and what you've really achieved. Just this week, I was reading an old address by the principal of the University of Edinburgh in the 19th century, a man named Robert Leighton. And Robert Leighton was the principal of this university, and it came time for graduation, and he was assigned to give the speech to the valedictorians. I don't know how many were in there at that time, but it was addressed to the valedictorians, plural. And he opened his speech to them by talking about all that they had accomplished in the last 4 years. And of course, this was the 19th century, so study in university was far more rigorous than it is today. And he looks at them and he's explaining all of their hardship, all of their educational toil that they have endured. And then he says these humbling words. Whatever knowledge you have accumulated in 4 years of study, it is nothing compared to the knowledge you don't possess. Whatever knowledge you have, it is a very small thing compared to the full body of knowledge. And there's wisdom in that. There's wisdom in coming to that awareness. You know, if you and I stand next to an ant on the ground, it's easy to feel like a giant, isn't it? Look at that little tiny ant. But if you stand at the base of a mountain, it is very easy to feel like that ant, to have a profound awareness of who you truly are. And that's where this humility, this anti-boasting spirit begins. Is an awareness of who you are, especially an awareness of who you are in relation to God. Isn't that what the scriptures often emphasize? In reminding us of who we truly are. The scriptures don't say, well, compare yourself to your neighbor. Compare yourself to the world outside. Again and again, the scriptures bring us face to face with an awareness of who we are by comparing us to God. Take, for instance, the 75th Psalm. Psalm 75, the Lord says, when the earth totters and all of its inhabitants, it is I who keep steady its pillars. I say to the boastful, do not boast. To the wicked, do not lift up your horn. What is God doing in that psalm? Well, if you want to look at it this way, it's in a comparative analysis. I am the one, he says, who when the earth totters, when all of its inhabitants are shaken, it is I in my infinite power that keeps steady the pillars. And he's saying, so put down your feathers, you peacocks, because I will be the one who silences the mouth of the boastful. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 15. Well, in verse 12, if you back up in that passage, Isaiah 10, 12, we read these words. When the Lord has finished all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, he will punish the speech of the arrogant heart and the boastful look in the eyes of the wicked. And in verse 15, he goes on to say, shall the axe boast over him who hews with it, or the saw magnify itself against he who wields it? Will he who is wood exalt himself over the one who is not wood? Can you imagine just for a moment the illustration that the prophet is making? You're using a tool like an axe or a saw, and can you imagine if that axe or that saw began to talk back to you and say, hey, little man, what are you doing? I'm the axe, I'm the saw, I'm a big deal. What would you say in this completely hypothetical situation? What would you say? You would say, axe, you are nothing. Saw, you are nothing. I'm the one that makes you useful. I'm the one that gives you your strength. I'm the one that gives you your power. And the prophet is saying that is what it is like for us to boast. To act like we're great and we're grand, we need only to look at ourselves in relation to God and see how absolutely silly it is that we would ever boast and brag about who we are, because we are merely instruments in the hand of a God. And a God who is far greater than us, a God who is far separate from us, a God who is not a man, but is God over all the gods and the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And the prophet is saying, put your feathers down. Or consider Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. The Lord says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let the one who boasts, boast of this, that he understands the Lord and he knows the Lord. The prophet again here is saying all of our knowledge, all of our understanding, all of our strength, all of our riches are as nothing compared to the God who is over all. Or think of that imagery that the Apostle Paul in Romans 9, and he's borrowing it from Jeremiah, when he reminds us that we are but the clay and God is the potter. It is an image that is intended to tell us, put your feathers down. Have a great awareness of who God is. Compare yourself to God. Put yourself next to him. And what are you? Compared to God, brothers and sisters, what are you? You have more weakness than you have strength. You have more ignorance than you have knowledge. You have more shortcomings than you have successes. Before the God of all things, what are your grades? What are your sports scores? What are your accomplishments and your job and your achievements compared to the all-surpassing and great glory of God Almighty? Scripture says you need this awareness of who you are in relation to God. And that's why it's so important, one of the reasons why it's so important that we meditate and study deeply the attributes of God and the character of God and the works of God and all that he is, because his infinite love and his infinite wisdom and his infinite goodness and his infinite knowledge and his infinite righteousness and his infinite holiness are telling us time and time and time again, Put your feathers down. You have nothing to boast in. You have nothing to brag about. You are, compared to God, as nothing. So how do I imbibe the spirit of love? How do I come to manifest this love that does not boast? In the first place, it is a profound awareness of who you truly are. And the second step, very briefly this evening, is to have actions that correspond to that awareness. To have actions that correspond to that awareness. It doesn't do enough to simply admit some kind of humility in your heart. Oh, I know I'm nothing before God. And then to go out and live as if you're a big deal. It doesn't do any good to say, well, I have no right to boast in front of God. But when I get involved with my neighbor, I'm going to spread my feathers for my neighbor to see. We must have actions that correspond with this awareness of ourselves in the light of God. And in that way, there is this glorious freedom for the Christian to not be concerned about showing off and bragging and boasting, because we look to a great God, and it frees us to love our neighbor, to realize I'm not center stage. It's okay if the world doesn't know about all of my accomplishments and all of my talents and all of my abilities and all that I possess and all that I could do. The Christian is freed from that because the motto of the Christian life is not to me alone be all the glory, but the motto of the Christian is to God alone be all the glory. And we live in that reality and we act in that reality and we treat our neighbor with that profound reality impressed deeply upon our hearts. And we act like those who have a profound awareness of who they truly are under the majesty and magnitude of who God is. It begins with a profound awareness. And it works itself out into all of our actions. And it works itself into the way that we relate to one another. Paul says, love does not boast. And that type of a love is born out of a heart that says, I am nothing, but God is everything. May He grant our hearts to believe and confess that very thing. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that the love of which we see even in this passage was perfectly exhibited by the Lord Jesus Christ. That He is the model and He is the example. That with the smallest nuance and the greatest detail, it is He who displayed this kind of love, and it is He, by the power of His Spirit, who works this spiritual love in our hearts. And so, Lord, we ask that You would do that in our midst this evening, that Your Spirit would apply this, that we would be those who have no reason to boast in ourselves, and that the love which we show to one another would not be a boasting love, but a love of profound humility, considering our neighbor better than ourselves, striving for their good, for their benefit, for their edification, for their reputation, and a love that puts its peacock feathers down to the glory of God. In Your name we pray. Amen.